Hit it, Phil.
Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no! It isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to our big celebration of Jack's 10th anniversary in radio. And the Jack and the whole team are so wonderful and planning so far ahead that they decided to do it on his 9th anniversary to celebrate his 10th anniversary, I guess. I don't know why this happens. It definitely is his 9th anniversary in radio, but they're celebrating the 10th. But I think what transpired here, if you read between all the lines here, is I think either the studio or the sponsor or someone decided it was Jack's 10th anniversary in radio. And so they were celebrating this being his 10th anniversary, decided to do it. And I think that Jack, whether he knew or didn't know, he just kind of went along with it because, you know, once there's somebody's lining things up and all these stars to give you a big party or whatever, I think sometimes you just need to commit and just say, whatever, it's close enough. But either that, or the only other thing I can think of is maybe it's celebrating his anniversary of his first appearance on radio, which would have been on Ed Sullivan's show where he made his first radio appearance. And that would be about 10 years ago, I believe. So maybe that's what it's about, and it's not about his show being 10 years old, because his show definitely was only 9 years old at the time. I believe somewhere kicking around I have that 10-year where all of his friends speak and things. It's like a dinner thing, and it goes for an hour, hour and a half, something like that. But right now, I've talked about how I just was assuming I could get to it on the internet because I knew where it was at, but that person's site went down, so I don't have as many connections as I did on the internet to get shows, and I asked for this one, but no one can seem to find it in their collection, and I can't find it in mine. I know it's in there somewhere. So anyway, but tonight's episode, of course, is the regular Jack Benny episode celebrating the 10th anniversary, so you get a chance to hear that. You might want to listen tomorrow night to hear kind of the rebuttal from Fred Allen, because Fred Allen's going to definitely be poking fun at Jack's 10th anniversary. Jack, as throughout time, had trouble with the dates of things, whether it's his writers or Jack. I mean, it's both, I suppose. I was watching his TV show a number of weeks ago, and he introduces, you know, he wants to go through and pay tribute to all to Jack and Don, not Jack, he is Jack, to Don and Dennis and Rochester. So he says how long they've been on the show. Well, he gets Don's about right, but then he makes a big deal about Dennis having been on the show, and he gives Dennis like he basically reverses the amount of years Dennis and Rochester have been on the show. So basically what we have is that supposedly Dennis had been on the show, I think it was 25 years at the time, and Rochester had been on the show for 22 years. Well, even a novice Benny person knows that Dennis came way later than Rochester to the show. And really, I'm surprised they just go along with it. It's really humorous to watch it because it just looks like they just agree. That's the way it all came about. And you would think either Dennis would realize, hey, I remember coming here and on my first shows, Rochester was there, so he'd already been here. Or Rochester would realize, hey, I worked with Kenny before I worked with Dennis. But any which way, all the times and dates always get kind of messed up on these things. So, and I don't think anyone ever knew we'd have all these shows that we could go back and check the dates on and things that would be so easily at our disposal. Anyway, enjoy tonight's show.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny, with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with "I Wonder Who's Kissing Her Now That I'm Drafted." Tomorrow morning, thousands of housewives will say to their grocers, "Jell-O, please." And tomorrow night at dinner, thousands of families will say, "Jell-O pleases." Because, ladies and gentlemen, it certainly does. Jell-O is a bang of good dessert, a swell treat that everyone likes right from the very first shimmering spoonful. The vivid colors of Jell-O give this attractive dessert a bright, tempting beauty that no other dessert can surpass. And Jell-O's intriguing flavor is just as refreshing as the juicy, ripe fruit itself. Jell-O is delightfully easy to make, too. It dissolves instantly in lukewarm water and sets in the twinkling of an eye. And Jell-O costs so little, you can afford to enjoy it as often as you please. By the way, strawberry, raspberry, and cherry Jell-O now taste better than ever. Each has a new, improved flavor obtained by using a natural flavor base artificially enhanced. And the result is something mighty delicious. So try a rich, glistening mold of Jell-O tomorrow. That was "I Wonder Who's Kissing Her Now That I've Moved to Glendale," played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is with great pride and pleasure that I present to you a man who next Friday, May the 9th, celebrates his 10th anniversary in radio, Jack Benny.
Thank you, thank you. My goodness. Well, hello again. This is Jack Benny talking. And Don, I didn't know the whole part. My goodness. Gosh, fellas, I'm really getting a send-off here. It's a wonderful tribute. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your thoughtful introduction. You know, I'd almost forgotten about my 10th anniversary, but I... Now, Phil, don't overdo it, you little rascal. Gosh, this reception has made me all choked up here. Look, my big blue eyes are full of tears. Have you got a handkerchief, Mary?
No, here's a blotter.
Never mind, I'll leave the tears in my eyes. It makes me look like Betty Davis. But no kidding, fellas. All this fuss and everything about my radio birthday is more than I expected. Really, I don't deserve it.
Ah, yes, you do, Jackson.
Why, certainly. You're a pioneer in radio, and you're worthy of this recognition.
That's right, Jack. You've got it coming to you.
Well... thanks again, fellas, but I don't know what to say. I feel like a fool. Look, I'm blushing.
Hooray, you've got blood.
Well, I'm just excited, that's all. Naturally, I'm flustered.
Well, that's perfectly natural, Jack. After all, we're making a great big fuss over you, and you've always been so modest and unassuming.
Well, not always, Don. There are times when I'm a little on the hammy side. Of course, it doesn't show, but it's there. Eh, Mary?
Well, if you ask me...
Who asked you? Go away, Mary, please.
Yeah, leave him alone, Mary. Say, Jackson, when you started out in radio, I'll bet you never thought you'd last 10 years, did you?
You said it, Phil. 10 years in this business is a long time. Gee, I'll never forget how nervous I was on my first broadcast. See, there I stood, 24 years old and scared to death. Oh, boy, what I went through, huh?
What was that age again?
37. Anyway, fellas, as I started to tell you, that first broadcast was really a thrill. There I stood shaking like a leaf.
Nervous, huh?
Why, Don, I couldn't even hold the script. I thought I was going to faint. But the announcer came over, put his arm around me and said, Take it easy, son. There's nothing to worry about. Just step up to that microphone and show him what you can do. And good luck to you, lad. Gee, he was a nice guy.
By the way, Jack, who was the announcer on your first broadcast?
Peter the Hermit.
Now, cut that out. Mary, for heaven's sake, will you please try and remember that this is my 10th anniversary? All right, fellas, thanks. You can stop with that. I'm a jolly good fellow. Now, let's forget it. Now, where was I?
You were telling us about your first radio program.
Yeah, what product were you selling in them days, Jackson?
Well, I was on the air for Burger's Black Beauty Buggy Whips.
Buggy Whips? And this was only 10 years ago?
Well, old man Burger was trying to bring back the horse. Gosh, I'll never forget that program. We had a theme song and everything.
A theme song?
Yeah, I even remembered it. It went like this. Now, let's see. What was that melody? Oh, yes. Dum-pa-pa-pum-pum-pum. Won't you buy our buggy whips? You will find that they are pips. If you want your horse to jump, he will go ka-lump, ka-lump. When you hit him on the rump with a Burger's buggy whip, it really snaps. Of course, fellas, that doesn't sound like anything now, but if you could have heard those 8 voices behind me and a team of horses whinnying, I tell you, it was sensational.
Hey, Jack, whatever made you leave that program?
Oh, it was one of those things. I went up to see old man Burger one day about a raise, and he whipped me with a Burger's buggy whip. But enough reminiscing about my early days. It's probably boring everybody.
No, this is very interesting, Jack. What program did you go on after Burger's buggy whips?
Well, from there, I went on one of those early morning dramatic shows, The Heartbreaks of Hortense Hooligan. I used to break her heart every morning at 7 a.m. I was pretty good.
Oh, I remember that program, Jack. Were you the leading man?
Yes, sir, that was me.
I remember that show, too. It was awful.
Well, it was so awful, Mary. Why'd you listen to it? Why didn't you turn it off?
I was such a little girl, and I couldn't reach the dial.
Mary, that was only 9.5 years ago. And if I remember correctly, young lady, you didn't have any trouble peeking over that hosiery counter. Anyway, Don, if I'd have kept up with my dramatic work today, I might have been one of... Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you, Dennis. Oh, by the way, Dennis, you haven't signed your contract yet for next season. Did you speak to your mother like I told you to?
Yes, I did.
Well, what'd she say?
She said it's not worth the Kleenex it's written on.
Dennis, in the first place, it's not written on Kleenex. And in the second place, let me give you a little advice. On my first radio job, I made the same mistake you did. I went to my boss, asked him for a raise, and he whipped me.
Well, beat me, Daddy. I want one, too.
Dennis, this is no time to talk about money. This is my anniversary. And now that you're here, let's have your song.
Okay.
Hold it a minute. Come in.
Telegram for Jack Benny.
Take it, Mary. All right, buddy, what are you waiting for?
Did you ever hear about tipping, or do I have to enlighten you?
Oh, yes, a tip. Here's a dime for you. I'm sorry I overlooked it.
Oh, don't mention it.
The guy's nuts. Mary, who's the telegram from?
It's from Fred Allen.
Fred Allen? What is that? Now, wait a minute. Now, stop her. What's the matter with you? Allen is not a jolly good fellow. All right, Mary, what's he got to say?
Dear Jack, congratulations, and I knew you'd leave your print and radio. You're just the heel that can do it.
What a rat. Why do I let him get away with that stuff? Why don't I do something about it? Why don't I beat him up?
Because you're a coward.
Oh, yes, that's it. Sing, Dennis. Mary, save that wire. I'm going to send him 10 awful words.
The warm and lovely world we knew has been struck by a bitter frost. But my sister and I recall with a sigh the world we knew and loved and lost. My sister and I remember still a tulip garden by an old Dutch mill, and the home that was all our own until. We don't talk about that. My sister and I recall once more the fishing schooner pulling in to shore, and the jaw caught in golden days before. But we don't talk about that. We're learning to forget the fear that came from a troubled sky. We're almost happy over here, but sometimes we wake at night and cry. Oh, my sister and I recall the day we said goodbye and then we sailed away. Of a friend who had to stay. But we don't talk
good, Dennis. Very good. Yes, sir. That was My Sister and I, sung by Dennis Day, our own Irish Nightingale. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
I'm not a Nightingale, Mr. Benny. I'm Irish, though.
I know you are, Dennis. I just called you a Nightingale as a figure of speech. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
A Nightingale?
No. I mean, I know it's a bird. It happens to be a bird that sings beautifully.
Oh.
That's why I called you a Nightingale. It's meant as a compliment, that's all. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Are you mad because I'm not a bird?
No, believe me, Dennis, I'm very happy that you're almost human. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
It's a wonderful feeling, isn't it?
Certainly is. And now, folks... I'm tired of saying ladies and gentlemen again. And now, folks, in response to a number of requests, Mr. Don Wilson, the eminent American playwright, has written another of his famous one-act plays. Take it, Mr. Wilson.
The scene, ladies and gentlemen, is the home of Mr. and Mrs. Boyle Heights in the little town of Eggplant, Missouri. It is 9 a.m., and as the curtain rises, Mr. Heights, who is a haberdasher, is dashing to his half.
Well,
curtain, music.
Well, goodbye, dear. I'm off to work. Give me my bear trap. I want to get customers today.
Here you are, Boyle.
Thank you, dear. By the way, dear, what are we having for dessert this evening?
I thought we'd have Jell-O, dear.
Jell-O, dear? All right, I'll stop at our neighborhood grocer, dear, and buy a package.
Is Jell-O very dear, dear?
No, it's economical, dear, and easy to make. And it comes in six delicious flavors, dear. Strawberry, dear, raspberry, dear, cherry, dear, orange, lemon, and lime, dear. Well, I better be going, dear.
Take your umbrella. It looks like rain, dear.
That sounded a little corny, dear. Anyway, I think I will. Goodbye, dear.
Goodbye, dear. Well, he's gone. You can come out of the closet now, dear.
Here I am, dear.
Kiss me.
Hey, what is this?
So Mr. and Mrs. Height's son, who hasn't seen his daddy for years, comes out of the closet.
Oh.
And will Mr. Height be in for a surprise that evening when he comes home with the Jell-O? I thank you.
Very good. That was excellent. You know, Don, dear, or Don, that was one of the cleverest plays you've ever written. It's got suspense and everything. It's one of those plots that you just can't wait to see what's going to happen.
Well, as a matter of fact, Jack, I wrote a second act to it. The scene where you come home to dinner that same evening.
And meet my son? Well, let's do it. Come on, Mary. Set the scene, Don.
Okay. It's 7 o'clock that evening, ladies and gentlemen, and Mr. Boyle Heights is returning home after a busy day trapping customers. Curtain, music.
It's my husband. Quick, dear. Hide under the sofa.
Okay, dear.
Quick. Come in, Boyley.
Ah, good evening, dear.
Hello, dear. Did you work hard today?
Yes, dear. And my feet is killing me. Well, where's the surprise, dear?
What surprise, dear?
Our son, dear. Isn't he anxious to see his daddy?
What son, dear?
Our son, dear, that was hiding in the closet, dear. Where is he?
Did you bring the Jell-O, dear?
Never mind that. Now, there's no use lying, dear. I'm going to open that closet and find out who's in there. Now, open that door or I'll shoot. Aha! Who are you?
Believe it or not, I'm a nightingale.
Dennis, my son! Well, Don, that second act was certainly a switch.
Oh, I've got a third act, Jack, where later that same evening...
Thanks, Don, but it's too good for this program. That's Theater Guild stuff. Hey, Phil, it's time for a band number. What's it going to be?
Well, Jackson, we're going to play a real old-timer tonight in a swell tune. It's called Ida, Sweet as Apple Cider.
Say, that is a good tune. You know, when I did my violin act in vaudeville, Ida used to be one of my feature numbers. Be nice hearing it again. Go ahead, Phil.
Oh, say, Jack, this being your anniversary, I think we ought to put the spotlight on you tonight. Now, how about playing a chorus of Ida on your fiddle?
On my fiddle? Oh, say, I might at that.
Don had opened his big fat mouth.
Well, Don's got a little sentiment in him that's more than you have. Phil, can I borrow a fiddle from one of your violinists?
You ask him. He doesn't speak English.
Never mind. I'll use my own. I happen to have it right here under my arm. Now, wait a minute. I'll tune it up.
Lot that'll help.
Just the same, I'm going to tune it up. I'm not going to start out off key. Hey, Charlie. Charlie, give me A, will you? There, that's it. Incidentally, fellas, when I did this number in my vaudeville act, I used to do a lot of tricks in the second chorus. You know, I'd hold my violin on my head and play it, and then between my knees. And then for a finish, I'd put the bow between my teeth and move the violin up and down.
Try that now, and your teeth will move up and down.
Mary, the next time you say I have false teeth, you're going to make the June payment on them. All right, fellas, let's go. Ida, sweet as apple cider. Sing a chorus, Phil.
Oh, I will.
Ida, sweet as apple cider. Sweeter than all I know. Can't you hear me calling when the rain at Emma falling? Oh, come out in the silvery moonlight. Our love will whisper so soft and low. I'm a Yankee Doodle kiddo. At the girls, I tip my lid off. These girls can't live without you. Listen, oh, Ida, this is really jazzy. Everybody thinks it's nasty. Yes, my Ida, I idolize you. I love you, Ida, deed I do. Thank you. violin and get this program going. No kidding, Will. That was Ida, Sweet as Apple Cider, sung by Phil Harris with a violin solo by Jack Benny, that syncopated boy. Well, how'd you like it, fellas?
Well, that was swell, Jack.
Very good, Mr. Benny.
No kidding, Jackson. That was okay. Huh, Mary?
It was a lot better than I expected.
Thanks, Mary.
What I expected shouldn't happen to a dog.
That I knew.
Oh.
Well, I haven't played my violin a long time. I am a little rusty. Anyway, thanks for helping me out, Phil. That was a nice touch on my anniversary.
And that ain't all, Jackson. Shall we give it to him now, fellas?
Give me what?
You tell him, Don.
Tell me what?
Well, Jack, we've all been with you for a long time, and we felt that the least we could do on this occasion was to buy you a gift as a token of our love and loyalty.
Well, so you devils have been holding back on me, eh? Well, where's the present? Where is it?
The men are out in the hall with it, Mr. Wilson.
Men? What can it be?
All right, carry it in, boys.
Right this way, fellas. Now, take it easy. Don't drop it.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that enormous crate. See, it takes four men to carry it.
Set it down here, boys. Easy now.
Gosh, it's certainly heavy. Well, quick, open it up. I'm dying to see what it is.
Okay, men, open it up.
Gee, this is the biggest present I ever got in my life. Look at those men. They're working like beavers. By golly, I haven't been so excited since Cortez pulled into the boat. Gee, Will. Hurry, fellas. I'm dying to see it. Well, I... Really, I'm just... No, well, thanks. Well, thanks, boys.
Well, there it is.
Get out of my way, Don. I can't see the present.
Oh, pardon me, Jack.
Well, Jackson, are you surprised?
Oh, my goodness.
How you like it?
Oh, fellas, just what I needed. A cigarette lighter with 50 gallons of fluid. Oh! Well, by golly!
Isn't it swell, Mr. Benny?
Oh, gee, I can't get over it. Just think, I'll be able to light my cigars with this lighter until I'm 8,000 years old. Oh! 10,000 if I'm conservative. Oh, what a present.
Well, we didn't know what to get you, Jack. You've got everything.
Everything and a barrel of oil. Well, thanks. All right, boys, roll out the barrel. Leave it in the hall.
Oh, wait a minute, Jack. I wrote a poem that goes with that present.
Oh, goody. That's all I need now. Never mind the poem.
Let her read it, Jackson. It's very apropos-popos.
Apropos-popos? Phil, you've got the right word, but you ought to have brakes put on it. All right, Mary, let's hear the poem. It's my own fault for being on the radio so many years. What's the title of it?
Old Man Benny, he just keeps puffing along.
I'm warning you, Mary, this better be good. Now, go ahead.
Oh, Jack Benny, I salute you, Mary Liz. A gall darn, I do not give.
I don't give a gall darn either.
You have stood the acid test, and you've had a great success. People think you are a mess. So do I.
Mary, you bees mean to me. Mary, you bees mean to me. Go ahead.
Okay.
What a silly joke.
How we love you, dear Jack Benny. How we hope
Hold
that...
it. Hold it. Wait till I answer the phone. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
All right, what do you want?
Boss, I'm telling you for the last time, I don't live in the same house as Mr. Billingsley. He's crazy every day.
Oh, you're always worrying about our border. What's he done now?
He came down to eat a little while ago dressed in a dinner jacket.
Well, it's Sunday night. What's wrong with a dinner jacket?
That's all he had on. No pants, no shoes, no socks, no nothing.
Oh, well, he's absent-minded. We know that. He's a little peculiar.
Then right in the middle of the dinner, he sent the mashed potatoes back to the kitchen.
What is wrong with the mashed potatoes?
He wanted lumps put in them.
Well, next time, make them with lumps. Believe me, Rochester, there's nothing wrong with Mr. Billingsley. He's just a little eccentric.
Eccentric?
Yes.
Boss, when a man waltzes with the hall tree all afternoon, eccentric ain't apropos-able.
What? Mr. Billingsley's been waltzing with the hall tree?
He calls it Dolores.
Dolores?
Why the romance, boss? They're flying to Yuma tonight.
Oh, my goodness. That's the silliest thing he's ever done. Well, humor him, Rochester. Do something.
Maybe I ought to lump him instead of a tater.
No, don't touch him. I'll be home right after the broadcast. Meanwhile, tell him the hall tree is married already. See you later. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
The gas man came today.
Oh, he did, eh? You see, Rochester, and you thought Carmichael ate him. What did he want?
He wanted to know what happened to the other gas man.
Oh, forget it, will you? Goodbye. Gosh, I hope Mr. Billingsley doesn't go too far off the beam. Now, he's the best boarder I've ever...
How we love you, dear Jack Benny.
Oh, yes, the poem.
More than ever, indeed we do. And we hope that we will always keep on loving you.
Oh, get this over with.
Dennis loves you, Philby loves you, Donkey loves you, so do I. So does Sammy, so does Arthur, so does Bert and Apple Pie.
A real treat, ladies and gentlemen, in the spirit of the season, try Jell-O's new spring salad that will lend zest to any meal. A salad with a grand, tantalizing goodness, all ready to add brightness and gaiety to a springtime menu. It's a salad that's easy to make, too. Simply prepare a package of lemon Jell-O as you usually do, add 1 tablespoon of vinegar, and chill until slightly thickened. Next, fold in 1 cup of chopped nut meats and 1 cup of diced celery. Then mold and serve on crinkly green lettuce with a dab of golden mayonnaise. And there's one of the swellest salads you ever tasted. Delicious combination of chopped nut meats, crisp diced celery, and rich, sunny lemon Jell-O. Incidentally, friends, this is National Restaurant Week. And I hope a lot of you will take the occasion to drop in at your favorite restaurant where you'll find a grand Jell-O dessert or salad on the menu. Visit your favorite restaurant this week and enjoy a delicious meal that includes a treat that's really tops Jell-O.
Gee, I was thrilled with my violin solo. This is the last number of the 31st program in the current Jell-O series. And we will be with you again next Sunday night at the same time. And fellas, I can't tell you how happy you all made me on my 10th anniversary. See you. Stop, will you? Good night, folks.
J-E-L-L-O.
Say, folks, you want to hear a swell echo? Well, listen. Jell-O!
Jell-O puddings! Jell-O! Jell-O puddings!
Now, Frank Bingman. What kind of an echo is that? Jell-O puddings aren't the same as Jell-O.
Oh, I know it, but they're made by the same people. Jell-O, you see, is a grand gelatin dessert. And Jell-O puddings are rich, creamy puddings full of the most delightful and mellow flavor and tempting goodness. So always ask for both. Whenever you buy Jell-O, get Jell-O puddings in all 3 flavors, chocolate, vanilla, and butterscotch. Order Jell-O puddings tomorrow.
Order Jell-O puddings tomorrow.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
KFI, Los Angeles.
Well, Jell-O again. This is Buck Benny speaking. If you're into my esoteric podcasts, you're going to love this one. I was checking into the greatest mayors in the history of our country, and I decided they're all wrong. The greatest mayor in the history of our country is the only one who was on the Jack Benny show 4 times and the Fred Allen show 1. And that would be Mayor of Waukegan, Bidey Talcott. Bidey's his nickname. Bidey became the mayor of Waukegan in 1935. So he was mayor in 1935 and 36. And, you know, things were like normal. And then in 1937, he made his first appearance on the Jack Benny show. Jack makes it sound like he must have known him. I assume he must beforehand, because to have him come on the show so many times, he came on in 37, 38, 39, and 1940. Then his last appearance on radio, as far as I can tell, was on the Fred Allen show in 1941. And on this show, it's even after he was already not the mayor anymore. So he was mayor from 1935 to 1941. Pretty amazing to be mayor for that short amount of time and to be on national radio programs 5 different times. I can't think of any other mayors. I'm sure there's some that are on old-time radio shows, but I doubt 5 times. So anyway, I hope you enjoy Bidey Talcott tonight. If you listen to his performances on the Jack Benny show, he's always a little tentative and a little off. He's kind of, I always think he's kind of fun to listen to. But in on Fred's show, he seems more rehearsed and things, like he's got it down, but maybe it's because it's his 5th show. I don't know. But I always, when I hear his voice, I always think of like a combination of, for looks, what I think he'd look like is a combination of like George Gobel and Drew Carey. In reality, I found his picture, so I've posted that on tonight's podcast, and he doesn't look like either of them. But did you know that there's something else that Jack Benny and Bidey Talcott have in common? Jack Benny has a middle school named after him in Waukegan, and Bidey Talcott has an elementary school named after him in Waukegan. So you can visit Waukegan and see both of their names there. That's pretty cool. Furthermore, I was just dinking around tonight at the Jack Benny Middle School website. And if you type in Jack Benny Middle School shirts, you will get a website where you can order all kinds of shirts and hats and everything with Jack Benny on there, and it'll let you put in your the year you graduated and your team number. So if you put in your team number is 39 and the year you graduated is 1932, which it'll let you do, you can make some pretty cool different shirts and hats and things, and they're not too expensive. I think the hat is on sale for like $19.99, and the shirts and things started like $20-some, and you can get, like, there's probably 40 different shirts you could get or something. So anyway, have fun with that. I want to see a lot of you wearing Jack Benny shirts now that you got from Jack Benny Middle School. Anyway, enjoy the show, and we'll see you next time.
Texaco Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody with our star comedian, Fred Allen, Kenny Baker and Portland Hoffa, our guests, Amos and Andy, and Mansell Talcott, the mayor of Waukegan, Win Murray and Al Goodman's orchestra. It's Texaco time. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we present something heretofore unheard of in radio. One comedian is devoting his entire 60 minutes to a monster tribute to celebrate the 10th anniversary of another comedian. The comedian who is going to get it is Jack Benny. The man who is going to give it is Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Well, I thought as long as I bowed that low, I might as well pull up my stockings while I was down there. A midget might go by and look at you, say you're an untidy man, or say, always pull your stockings up. If possible, up over your mouth, Jimmy. And good evening, thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And tonight, Jimmy, there's no time to waste. You know, this week, Jack Benny, the neurotics superman, completes his 10th year in radio. And tonight, we are going to celebrate Jack Benny's paniversary.
You mean you're dedicating the whole 60 minutes to Jack?
Well, not in toto, Jimmy. A few of our minutes had better be dedicated to Texaco, or next week this program will be known as the man in the street. I'm not kidding.
Yeah,
either.
I get it.
Well, let's get going. We've got to make this an hour that Benny will remember to his dying day. Now, is everybody ready? Portland.
All hail to Jack Benny.
No, not yet, Portland.
But I've written a eulogy.
Later you can make with the eulogy. Kenny.
Okay, F.A., I've got my Jack Benny serenade all set.
Fine. And Mr. Goodman, have you written that special music for this festive occasion?
What else? To honoring Benny, the musician, I, Goodman, am composing a string symphony.
A string symphony? Sounds impressive.
This could be. 22 violins are playing not only off-key, but also not tuned.
Off-key and not tuned. A fitting tribute to Benny, the musician, indeed. Tell me, did you write an original sonata?
Confidentially, I'm composing Rubinstein's Melody in F.
Well, how can you compose something Rubinstein has already composed?
I am decomposing it.
Oh, never mind. Just give us a fanfare, maestro, and let's go. The Texaco Star Theater salutes Jack Benny. Hollywood, California. On May 9th, 1941, America's favorite killer cycle wit celebrates his 10th year in radio. 10 years ago, back in 1931, Jack Benny made his first appearance in radio. Yes, 1931 was an eventful year. In 1931, the president of these United States was...
Herbert Clark Hoover.
The vice president was...
Who knows?
In 1931, the governor of New York State...
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
The mayor of New York City...
The Honorable James J. Walker.
In 1931, the Broadway movie theaters were showing...
Public Enemy, starring Jimmy Cagney.
Indiscreet, starring Gloria Swanson.
Sven Gahler, starring John Barrymore, now stooging for Rudy Valley.
In May 1931, the baseball season was underway.
The Brooklyn Dodgers are in seventh place, 1-3, lost 10. Wait till next year.
It took him 10 years to make good. In 1931, Prohibition was in force. Bootleg liquor flooded the country. It was not unusual to hear a drinking man say,
I took a drink today. It dissolved my two front teeth right down to the pivots.
That year, vaudeville comedians were telling Prohibition jokes.
Have you tried that new nip and tuck whiskey?
Yeah, one nip and they tuck you away for the night. Yuck, 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 yuck.
That team is... That team is still out of work today. In 1931, the police commissioner of New York said...
The police department is cracking down on motorists blowing their auto horns. I'll have New York quiet in 30 days.
That man is now living in Connecticut. A New York subway contractor announced that year...
Blasting the 6th Avenue subway will damage the water mains. The 6th Avenue subway may never be completed.
That's what he thought. Today, you can't tell the 6th Avenue subway from a hole in the ground. In 1931, the district attorney of New York said...
Slot machines have got to go. I'll stamp out every racket in New York if I have to use both feet.
This same year, the King of Siam visited New York.
Are you the King of Siam?
Yes, I am.
On May 1st, 1931, a new high mark was set in Manhattan's skyline. The Empire State Building, 102 stories high, was open to the public. Up in the observation tower, a sightseeing couple from Jersey was heard to say,
Sure high up here, ain't it, Mabel?
Yeah. Say, what's that peppermint lifesaver laying in that field?
That ain't no lifesaver, Mabel. It's the Yankee Stadium.
What do you know? Say, what's that flat thing there? Looks like a pancake somebody sat on.
Well, that's Jersey, Mabel.
Jersey, what do you know?
Yeah, ain't it wonderful?
Yes. It was wonderful. In 1931, thousands of people who lived in Jersey came all the way to New York, paid a dollar to go up on top of the Empire State Building to look back at Jersey again. Many important events occurred that year. Several people questioned about 1931 remember other momentous happenings. A little-known man about pool room who recalls 1931 is Sherman Masdag. What is your outstanding recollection of 1931, Sherman?
1931 is the year the pajama string was invented.
The pajama string?
Yeah.
And this impressed you?
Oh, the pajama string was a boon to mankind.
A boon to mankind? In what way?
Before the pajama string was invented...
Yes?
A man going to bed with pajamas on had his hands full.
I don't get it, but who am I, after all? And thank you, Sherman Mazda. A housewife who will long remember 1931 is Mrs. Tilton Shante. What impressed you back in 1931, Mrs. Shante?
1931's the year cellophane came out.
Oh, and cellophane impressed you, did it?
Cellophane liked to ruin me.
Well, how do you mean?
In 1931, they started putting cellophane on bread.
I see.
Nobody told nobody what it was.
Oh, and you?
I was slicing the cellophane along with the bread, putting butter on it and then eating it.
You were eating cellophane?
With butter on it.
Well, how was it?
It's better with ketchup on it. Oh.
Well, tell me, how long did you continue to eat this cellophane?
For 6 months. Then I couldn't stand it no more. Felt like I had an accordion in my stomach.
Really?
Inside, I felt creased.
Creased, hey? Well, what did you do?
Nothing, just quit eating bread.
Well, after eating cellophane for 6 months back in 1931, do you feel any ill effects today?
Don't feel nothing.
No?
But when I bend over, I crinkle.
You crinkle, huh?
Yeah. And every time I sit down, it sounds like somebody's opening a bundle.
Somebody's opening. Well, thank you, Mrs. Tilton. When you finish, it sounds like someone was laying an egg. Mrs. Tilton Shanty. A man who will long remember 1931 is Mr. Bedegar Stilt. Now, what in retrospect highlights that year for you, Mr. Stilt?
Two things.
Namely?
1931 is the year the zipper was invented.
And?
1931 had the coldest winter in history.
Well, what is it about the zipper and the cold that still impresses you?
Well, like I say, in 1931 the zipper was invented.
Yes?
They was putting zippers on everything. Shoes, raincoats, overnight bags.
And you succumbed to the vogue?
Oh, yeah. I bought me a Bell Brigham Union suit. It had a zipper all the way down the front.
A zipper, huh?
Yeah.
Well, tell me, where does the cold spell come in, the cold?
Well, the morning the cold started, I get up to put on my union suit. The zipper is frozen.
The zipper is frozen?
Yeah, yeah. I bend down to breathe on it while I'm trying to pull it up.
Yeah?
There I am, breathing and tugging, tugging and breathing.
Yeah?
All of a sudden, zip, up she comes. I can't straighten up.
Why not?
My nose is caught in the zipper.
You couldn't get it out?
For 2 weeks, if you seen me on the street and wanted to know who I was, you had to open my vest.
Really?
Yeah, there I was on the inside.
With business going on as usual, huh? Well, how did you finally get your nose out of the zipper?
Well, sir, I kept poking my nose into the zipper and making the hole bigger.
Yeah?
When the hole got big enough, I crawled into the union suit and got out through the leg.
You made it the hard way, and thank you, Bedeker Still. And with Mr. Still's nostalgic reminiscences of an early escapade, we bring to a close this cavalcade of highlights taken from that outstanding year, 1931, and the first episode in our great tribute to Jack Benny. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Excuse me, Fred.
Well, yes, Jimmy.
Listen, I don't like to butt in, but where was the tribute? You didn't even mention Jack's name.
Now, look, Mr. Wallington, you stick to your announcing. I'm handling these festivities.
But I still don't see where the tribute comes from.
Benny started 10 years ago, didn't he?
Well, yes, but...
We gave you everything of importance that happened in 1931, didn't we?
But you didn't mention Jack Benny.
You can draw your own conclusions, Jimmy. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Baker sings a number with our idol in mind. Kenny's song explains why he is on this program tonight, and it is dedicated to Jack Benny. The song is appropriately called Because of You, if you get what we mean, Mr. Benny.
Because of you, there's a song in my heart. Because of you, my romance had its start. Because of you, the sun will shine, the moon and stars will say you're mine forever and never to part. I only live for your love and your kiss. It's paradise to be near you like this. Because of you, my life is now worthwhile, and I can smile because of you. There's a song in my heart. My romance had to start. Because of you, the sun will shine, the moon and stars will say you're mine forever and never to part. Pledge your love with a kiss. It's paradise near you like this. Because of you, my life is now worthwhile, and I can smile because of you.
That was indeed a tribute to our friend.
Say, Fred, would you like to take a little intelligence test?
An intelligence test? You mean to prove that I'm smarter than the gentleman from California? What sort of a test is it, Jimmy? What do you mean?
Well, I'm going to give you three familiar phrases.
Uh-huh.
And then you tell me who says them and what they mean.
All right, Jimmy.
Here we go. Last call, last call. Curtain going up.
Why, that's a call boy in a theater.
That's right.
Yes, I'm right.
Hello. Now then, this
yeah?
one.
Yeah?
Last call, dinner now being served in the dining car.
Oh, that's easy. That's a Pullman waiter.
And that's right.
No now kidding, here,
yes.
Twice.
Oh, boy.
Tonight's my night. Eh?
Now the third one.
Oh, wow.
Now here's just one more.
Last call, final warning.
All right, who is
oh,
that?
Gosh, Jimmy, I give up. I shouldn't have bragged. I bragged too soon. Who is it?
It's me.
No kidding. Well, no wonder I didn't
right.
get it.
With the last call, the final warning to put your car in condition to stand warm weather driving. The deadline is here. No driver can feel absolutely safe about his car without a complete changeover to spring right now. So why delay? See your Texaco dealer. He'll quickly and expertly put your car in condition for warm weather driving. First, He'll replace the worn-out winter oil now in your crankcase with insulated Havoline or insulated Texaco motor oil, insulated especially to resist high engine temperatures. Next, he'll drain the transmission and differential, refill with the right seasonal grade of Texaco gear lubricants to make sure of smooth, quiet shifting. And then he'll stop squeaks and wear in the chassis with Marfac, M-A-R-F-A-K, Texaco's famous 40-point chassis lubrication service. So don't delay. Tune up and catch up with spring at your Texaco dealer now.
Inserted Dumbre. Oh, Inserted Dumbre. Why don't you get a number I can pronounce once in a while? But played by Al Goodman, either that or send your uncle around the interpreter and make it clear what's going on. That was Inserted Dumbre, played by Al Goodman. Is that right? Al Goodman and his orchestra. Their records are now available at the 54th Street Police Station. And we don't mean the Decca records either. And now, ladies and gentlemen, on with our Jack Benny Paniversary.
All hail to Jack Benny!
Now, wait. Later with the hail, Portland. Later with the hail.
But you haven't said anything nice about Jack yet.
Well, we'll get to that. This is a monster tribute. We'll get to the monster shortly. Now, if you'll go
on. All hail to Jack Benny! I'm yelling hoarsely.
May he
jump 10 points on his next Carrossley.
Look, please, Portland, you and the Carrossley.
Hi, folks.
Oh, hello, Kenny.
What's up?
Mr. Benny's Carrossley is up. And incidentally, Portland, that's Crossley and not Carrossley. Double Carrossley. You'd better get the name straight because Mr. Crossley, the head of the Crossley Radio Survey, is going to be on our program next week.
Is that the Mr. Crossley who lets you know if your program is going over with a bang?
Yep, that's the man.
Crossley with a bang, he says.
Well, what's wrong with that, Mr. Goodman?
Crossley is with a Bing. Bing Crossley.
All right. All right, all right.
Mr. Chase is with a bang.
What, Mr. Chase?
The Chase National Bang.
This is an all-out Benny program, all right.
All hail to Jack
no,
Benny.
No, please, Lord. Portland, later. Go down
don't
to
don't you want me to finish my poem?
Well, no, not now, I don't.
I told you, Party. This celebration is a fake. This program isn't a tribute to Mr. Benny at all.
Oh, no?
No.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Mr. Allen.
This is like at a dinner. The guest of honor is getting a Mickey Fink.
Now, just a minute, all of you. You all think that I'm faking here. Now, I'll show you what I'm going to do. When a man makes good, everybody slaps him on the back. But who is it, no matter whether he's up or down, who is it keeps plugging him?
His agent.
No, I'll tell you, always with the business in the mind. I'll tell you who it is, Mr. Goodman. It's the folks back home, his old hometown. Now, tonight, I have spared no expense in bringing before you a distinguished citizen of Mr. Benny's hometown. Who is more qualified? Who more eager to heap praises on a hometown boy who has made good than the mayor of that hometown in person?
Mr. Allen, you mean...
Yes, Portland. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present the mayor of Waukegan, Illinois, His Honor, Mansell Talker. Well, good evening, Mayor Talcott.
Good evening, Fred.
Mayor Talcott, it,
You can call me Bitey, Fred.
You had to think it over a while, I mean... what did you say, Mayor?
You can call me Bitey, Fred.
Didey?
No, Bitey. That's my nickname.
Oh, fine. Didey had me a little worried there. I thought you were appearing under wraps tonight.
Not on a night like this, Fred.
Well, now, first, I want to thank you for making the long trip down from Waukegan to be with us on this festive occasion.
Fred, on behalf of Waukegan, I would like to thank you for this opportunity to bring a message from the fairest city in the Midwest.
Fine. Well, tonight, of course, all animosity is forgotten, and credit where credit is due is our slogan.
Yes, I'm eager to start talking, Fred.
Small wonder you're having trouble holding in. Yes, it's a proud night for Waukegan. 10 years ago, what was Waukegan? A slumbering little hamlet on the shores of Lake Michigan. And then, overnight, it happened.
It certainly did.
One morning, Waukegan awoke to find itself nationally famous.
Internationally famous,
right,
Fred.
Right you are. And what was it, Mayor Talcott, that happened 10 years ago that skyrocketed Waukegan to the fame it enjoys today?
The Johnson Outboard Motor Company opened its new plant.
Exactly. Why, today, the Johnson Outboard Motor Company, today you can't say putt-putt without thinking of Waukegan, which is only a putt-putt from Chicago, they tell me. An industrial triumph.
Thank you, Fred.
Mayor, frankly, I can think of no better way of spending the rest of our time tonight than going deeper into this enchanting subject of outboard motors.
Well, of course, I really didn't come here to talk about outboard motors.
I sense the civic subtlety of your rejoinder, Mayor.
There is, shall we say, another thing that has made Waukegan famous.
Too true, too true.
I am sure everyone knows to what I'm referring.
Well, if everybody knows, why bring it up, Mayor Talcott?
Well, Fred, after all, that's why I'm here.
Yes, well, I guess we may as well face it then.
Of course, no one will be surprised to hear that I am referring to Waukegan's pride and joy.
And Waukegan's pride and joy, Mayor Talcott, is?
Factory number 6 of the American Can Company.
As if, please. Factory number 6 of the American Can Company.
Then, of course, you know that Waukegan is the home of the Johns Manville Asbestos Company, the Cyclone Fence Company, the Abbott Laboratories, and many others.
Well, haven't you overlooked one other thing Waukegan is justly proud of?
Oh, you mean the new super silo of the Blatchford Calf Meal Company, Fred?
Exactly, the new super silo of the Blatchford Calf Meal Company. I changed the firm there, but just for a minute, I'll give it back to them shortly.
But, Mr. Talcott, isn't Waukegan famous because of a local boy who made good?
Portland, please.
That's all right, Fred. Portland asked a question that I, as mayor, have answered many times.
But, Mayor, we don't want to tax your throat talking about a Waukegan celebrity.
I'll risk it, Fred. We in Waukegan never tire talking about him.
And the man you mean is?
Waukegan's own Bob O'Farrell.
Bob O'Farrell! Bob O'Farrell was one of the greatest catchers the Cubs ever had. Why, I remember...
But, Mayor Talcott, hasn't Waukegan another celebrity?
Yes, Portland.
Portland, let's not grill our guest. Well, Mayor Talcott, it's been a pleasure to talk to you about Waukegan's great, and I hope
But, Mr. Allen...
Our time is limited, Portland. We cannot discuss, at this time, every Tom, Dick, and Harry who came from Waukegan.
Any Tom, Dick, or Harry. He's a famous movie star.
Why, Waukegan isn't a movie center. None of our cinema stars come from Waukegan, do they, Mayor?
Not that I know of. Possibly a few extras here and there.
You see, a few extras here and there. It could happen to any town, a thing like that.
But, Mr. Talcott, doesn't a great radio star come from Waukegan?
Portland, you're embarrassing the mayor. So they haven't anybody in radio. That's no crime.
I know the man Portland is referring to, Fred.
You do?
Yes, Waukegan is responsible for radio's greatest sensation this past year.
You mean?
Yes, Mr. Muncie.
Mr. Muncie created a sensation in radio?
Yes. His suspenders broke on We the People.
Oh,
another man from Waukegan on the radio, Mayor Talcott.
Yes, but his name would mean nothing to the mayor.
If you can tell me something about this man, I might place him, Fred.
Well, now, let me see. I'll have to rack my memory, and I haven't got my rack with me. I'll just have to fake it. Now, let me see. About 30 years ago, Mayor, this fellow, who is now prematurely an old man... This young blade was keeping company with a girl named Gussie Loomis.
Oh, yes. Gussie's still in Waukegan.
Doing well, I hope. Well, this sentimental young tailor's son, as an inexpensive token of his affection, gave Gussie a lock of his hair. But as the years went by, Gussie got to know him better, and naturally they drifted apart. That was 30 years ago.
This is mighty interesting, Fred.
Yes, it is. Well, last fall, this jaded old roué came all the way from Hollywood, stole into Waukegan in the dead of night, mark you, broke into Gussie Loomis's trailer, and turned it topsy-turvy.
Why, Fred?
He was trying to get back that lock of hair. And not for sentimental reasons, believe me. Why, that guy is combing his hair with military sponges.
Now, do you know who he is, Mr. Talcott?
Not offhand, Portland.
But this man's on the radio. Didn't you go on a radio program last year?
Yes, I did, but I'd rather not mention it.
You mean there were repercussions when you got back to Waukegan?
There were delayed repercussions, Fred.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, this year I ran for re-election in Waukegan.
And how did you come out?
Well, Fred... Shake hands with the ex-mayor of Waukegan.
You mean to say that you lost the election because you merely appeared on the same program with this questionable character?
That is a question you'll have to ask the voters of Waukegan, Fred.
Well, thank you, Mayor Talcott, for this enlightening interview about Waukegan. We're certainly sorry that you lost the recent election, and we wish you every success in your return to private life. Your outstanding record entitles you to the very best.
Thank you, Fred. Good night.
Good night, and thank you, ex-mayor. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, when Miss Wynne Murray gives us a short breathing spell in our Benny celebration as she sings A Romantic Gal I.
A romantic guy I. Guy I am, so high in the sky that each passerby must know that love is the reason why. A romantic guy I, you're romantic, I my way would bring heaven nigh, so why don't you try? A romantic guy, a romantic guy I. guy I am. So high in the sky that each passerby must know that love is the reason why. A romantic guy I, your romantic eye my way would bring heaven nigh. So why don't you try a romantic guy? I'm too romantic. I'm high in the sky. A romantic guy.
Thank you, Ray. Tonight, as a special feature of the Jack Benny Paniversary, we solve a mystery that has baffled the Benny program for the past several weeks. The great mystery entitled, What Became of the Gas Man? Now, at great expense, we have engaged that famous crystal gazer, Swami Schmaltz, to try to locate the gas man for us. Will you proceed? Your crystal is ready there, Swami, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it hot? Well, proceed, if you will.
I am now gazing into my crystal ball. All is darkness. Ah, now the darkness is taking form. I see a whirling dark spot.
Is it the eight ball?
No, no.
Isn't the eight ball? We're safe then, huh?
The shadows are clearing. I see something. Ah, the gas man.
The gas man. Where is he?
He's standing beside a gas pump. The gas man is a Texaco dealer.
Well, what became of the gas man? He's a Texaco dealer. The mystery is solved.
Wait a minute. What does it say on that gas pump?
I'll look, Mr. Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
It says Sky Chief.
Ah, then there's no mystery there either. Even though that name does have a magical attraction for everyone who drives a car. No, no mystery in that name. Texaco Sky Chief. Just a big promise. A promise of something out of the ordinary in gasoline performance. So the next time you're ready to fuel up, try Texaco Sky Chief. Then feel the difference. The lift of smooth, mighty power at the takeoffs. The quick surging response to the throttle in traffic and on the hills. The effortless way your car soars along the straightaways. Yes, Sky Chief is that different. Introduce yourself soon to the thrill of flying the highway with your Texaco dealer's premium gasoline for those who want the best. The Texaco Star Theater continues immediately after a brief pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we continue our great Benny Mardi Gras. It is indeed a rare privilege to present our next guests. Radio made Jack Benny famous. But the two comedians who made radio famous are Freeman Gosden and Charles Carell, better known to radio audiences everywhere as Amos and Andy. Well, welcome to our jubilee, gentlemen.
Thank you, Fred. That goes for me, too, Fred.
You know, this is really an event, catching you two boys out in public without your dialects on.
Well, to tell you the truth, Fred, Charlie and I would feel a lot better right now as Amos and Andy.
Well, you're not nervous, are you?
Well, I'm nervous, Fred, and I'm not kidding.
That's it.
Yeah, Charlie's so nervous, I'm shaking.
Well, all right, fellas, if it'll make you feel any more at home, I'll start shaking to be sociable, if it'll help.
Thanks, that'll be very good, sir.
Well, this get-together will probably confuse everybody. You were on tonight at 7 o'clock for Campbell's Soup, and now you're here for Texaco. So tomorrow people will probably be trying to buy soup at service stations and putting Campbell's Chicken Gumbo in their gas tanks.
Well, if they do, it's your fault, Fred. You invited us over.
Yes, I did, Charlie, and I'll tell you why. Tonight, we're celebrating Jack Benny's Paniversary. It's a big night. Now, I thought if you fellas would take me up to Harlem to see Amos and Andy, I might get them to help out with the festivities. Well, how about it?
Sure, we'll take you right up to the lodge hall, Fred.
Yes, and you're lucky, too, Fred, because Amos, Andy, and the Kingfisher are up there talking now.
Fine. Well, the quickest way to get up to Harlem is not to take a cab. We'll take your theme song, and we'll be up to the lodge hall in no time.
Come in.
I wonder who this is.
Yeah, maybe it's the good humor man back again. Come in, come in.
Yes, sir.
What is it, son?
Boys, Carell and Gosden sent me up to see you fellows. My name is Fred Allen.
Oh, yes, sir. Glad to know you, Mr. Allen. My name is Amos.
And I is Andy.
I is the Kingfish.
I hope I'm not intruding, boys.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir.
No, no, you ain't protruding, no, sir. What can we do for you, Miss Allen?
Yes, sir, please see.
Well, I'll tell you... I'll tell you why I'm here.
Yes, sir, Miss Allen.
Tonight, I am sponsoring a big celebration, and I need your support.
Well, you has got it.
It's the 10th anniversary...
He is behind you tooth and nail.
...of a great radio personality.
We're with you, Miss Allen.
He's the star of the Jell-O program.
Good. It's time we was doing something for Rochester.
But Rochester?
Yes, sir. He is the star of the Jell-O program.
Yes, sir. The Jell-O program is a one-man show, and that one man is Rochester. Don't tell us.
But boys, you don't...
Rochester, Harlem is behind you. Rochester is a charter member of our lodge, and he deserves that recognition.
But just a minute, fellas. The star of the Jell-O program...
Wait a minute. You don't have to tell us nothing about Rochester.
Oh, little old Rochester seemed like only yesterday that he was sweeping out the lodge. Today, he's sweeping the country.
Temper sure do fidget, don't it?
But, boys, this tribute I'm talking about...
Well, Mr. Allen's right. We ought to pay a tribute.
Oh, nothing is too good for Rochester. What can we do for him?
Wait a minute, boys. The idea done hit me in the head. Look here, I got it. As head of the Mr. Nice of the Sea, I move, second, and carry the motion that we erect a monument to Rochester.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. A monument to Rochester on a horse.
Yeah, with the horse riding up with his front feet up in the air, they're kind of pawing and that stuff.
Yeah, how is that, Miss Allen?
That's a good idea, Andy. Rochester, the Lone Ranger of Lenox Avenue.
Yes, sir, I can see it now. Rochester on a horse with a sign on there, the prescription reading...
E pluribus jello.
Just a minute, Miss Allen, what would a statue like this on a horse cost?
Oh, now, well, I'd say about $200 for Rochester and $200 for the horse.
Oh, sounds great.
Yeah, sounds great to me, too. Even better than that.
Now, hold on here, fellas. You know the lodge ain't got that kind of money.
Well, if that's the case, boys, now perhaps we'd better retrench.
I agree with Mr. Allen. We could have a bigger statue. That's what we ought to have.
Yeah.
Well, no, Kingfish. He means that we ought to cut it down.
Cut it down. Yeah, that sounds great. How about Rochester on a pony?
Now, that's the idea. You got something there, a little sweatland pony.
Yeah.
Oh, now, wait a minute, though. Wait a minute, fellas. We can't afford a pony.
Well, if you can't afford it, boys, how would this be? You can take Rochester down off the horse and just have him standing there, a pedestrian. Now, instead of $400, the statue will only cost you half of that.
Yeah, but that's $200, and we ain't got $200. It's got to be cheaper than that.
Cheaper, hey? Well, how about making the statue smaller? You can have a statue of Rochester as a boy.
Oh, yes, sir, as a boy. That's right. That's great. That's great.
Yeah. What'll that cost, though?
Well, Rochester as a little boy with no hat on and barefooted, well, it'll cost around
$100. $100? Oh, no, sir.
Well, we could get a bust for $50.
A bust. Now, there you're going. A bust sounds great.
Yeah, a bust. That is our tribute to Rochester.
Yeah, but Andy, where are we going to get $50?
Yeah, now, hold on, gentlemen. The money is no object. Harlem is behind Brother Rochester to a man. We got to do something.
Yeah, we got to do something.
Well, look, boys, after all, at a time like this, it isn't a question of money. It's the sentiment that counts. Now, why don't you forget about the statue and just send Rochester a present, a little token of your esteem? How about a floral horseshoe?
Horseshoe? Oh, that sounds great.
Oh, yeah, that's right. A floral horseshoe with a ribbon on it. Ribbon reading, Good Luck Rochester. We'll make the flowers out of them chrysanthemum things.
Yeah, but what is you going to use for money to buy flowers?
Well, how about sending Rochester a telegram?
Oh, that's a great idea. I got an idea there now, Andy. A night letter from the Mystic Knights of the Sea.
Yeah, but he's in California. A telegram gonna cost money.
Oh, yes, Amos is right. You can't send congratulations collect.
Wait a minute. Here's what we'll do. Forget the telegram. Let's write Rochester a great letter.
Okay, yeah. Write him a letter, King.
Yeah, I'll write him a great letter. First, I'll get a stamp. Now, let's see a stamp. That's 3 cents, ain't it? 3 cents, 3 cents, You know I done left my pocketbook at home here. Where is it? Amos, you got any change?
No, I ain't.
Is you holding, Andy?
No, I's empty, too.
Well, fellows.
Mr. Allen, you know how the Lodge feels about Brother Rochester. We love the boy. Ain't nothing that we wouldn't do for him.
But what about the Lodge's tribute, Kingfish?
Here's what we'll do.
Yes?
The next time you see Rochester...
Yes?
Give him our kind regards. That's what I told him there to do.
I definitely...
Thank you, Freeman and Charlie. That was a treat.
It's been fun visiting, Fred.
Yes, it has, Fred. And you ought to drop in and see us before we go back to California.
Oh, but you don't have guests on your program.
Well, you come over tomorrow night and we'll break a rule.
All right, I'll see you on your program tomorrow night. Thanks a lot for your great kindness and help tonight, Amos and Andy. Thank you. And now, continuing in our Jack Benny mood, Kenny sings a song dedicated to a bird Mr. Benny received during his opening performance at the Novelty Theater in Topeka, Kansas. The bird number is called On Wings of Song.
Song I will take thee. In dreams, my love, we will go to a home I have made thee, where Ganges waters flow. A garden is brightly shining beneath the moon so clear.
Another tribute to Jack Benny.
Duds just don't belong in fast-acting company. You won't meet them among the men of action who drive fire engines, or for that matter, patrol cars, ambulances, and other emergency duty vehicles. They want action, and they want it from gasoline, too. They don't want duds around in the form of sluggish, slow-action elements that rob engines of vital power in the line of duty. So because the duds are out of Texaco Fire Chief, it's famous as the emergency duty gasoline. Every drop is packed with quick-acting power for fast starts, steady, sustained power for long, hard runs. That's what you get for your everyday driving in Fire Chief at regular gasoline prices. Next time, try a Texaco dealer and Fire Chief.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we continue our salute to Jack Benny.
Oh, hail to Jack Benny!
No, not yet, Portland.
But the program's almost over, and you haven't even mentioned Jack.
Mention? Why, the whole program. You heard Mr. Talcott, the mayor of Waukegan.
The mayor is plugging only Waukegan.
Well, what about Amos and Andy?
Amos and Andy went to town for Rochester.
All right, with the dialect. You think I'm sabotaging... You think I'm sabotaging Benny. Now, you people can't wait. That's the trouble with you. Why, the whole Texaco Workshop sketch is about Jack Benny. This sketch coming up now. This cavalcade is called The Highlights of a Lowlife, or Benny Marches On. Our story opens in a tiny log cabin in a small town in Illinois. A young husband eagerly awaits the arrival of his first child. The husband and doctor stand together at the window. Anxiously, they scan the sky. The husband speaks.
Any sign of the stork yet, Doc?
Nope, I don't see nothing.
Look, what's that bird coming this way?
Whoopee, it's the stork!
What for a stork? He's flying mighty low, Doc.
Yeah, and his beak's bent double like a hairpin.
Must be a heavy bundle he's carrying, Doc.
Stand back! The stork's let go. It's coming down the chimney!
Jumping Jehoshaphat.
That's some fat baby. Congratulations, Mr. Wilson. It's a boy.
Oh, just look at the little feller. Speak to your paw, son. Say something.
Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime.
That was the first highlight in Jack Benny's career. Don Wilson was born. And now our scene changes to a scrubby and fallow plantation deep in the Old South. Old Colonel Oglethorpe Harrison has sent a slave to fetch his raw-boned son, Philpot, out of the cotton patch. Philpot Harrison enters the room.
Did you all send for me to be parched, Pappy?
I sure enough did, Philpot. The time has come for you all to inherit the traditions of the old Sioux.
What traditions, Pappy?
You're going to become a planter like your Pappy, Philpot.
I'm going to be a musician, Pappy.
You're to starve, son. You won't have a pot to your name, Philpot.
Well, then, I'll just be Phil, Pappy.
Son, if you all ain't a planter, you all ain't a son of a Harrison.
You can take the son off of Harrison, too. I still got Harris left.
Son... You was christened Philpot Harrison.
My new name's Phil Harris, Pappy.
But for 10 generations, us Harrisons has planted corn. Corn is in our blood, son.
Then I'll put corn in my music. I'll be Phil Harris, king of corn.
This was the second highlight in Jack Benny's career. Philpot Harrison did become a musician. And today, this raw-boned son of a southern planter is known to millions... is known to millions as Phil Harris, the king of corn. His band tours the country as the crow flies. And now our locale shifts again. The scene is the basement in the May Company department store in Los Angeles, California. It is 5:30, closing time. Over in a dark corner, a beautiful young sales girl is checking over her slips at the toupee counter. The floor walker speaks.
Call out your sales, Miss Livingston. I'll check these receipts.
Yes, Mr. Morrow. 15 black toupees.
Right.
10 blonde toupees complete with sideburns.
Right.
8 brunette toupees with spit curls.
Right.
1 pompadour toupee.
Just a minute, Miss Livingston. That pompadour toupee is missing.
Why, that heel. I'll bet he took it.
Who?
There was a man in here this afternoon trying on a pompadour toupee.
Well, what did he look like?
He had a flabby front, veal cutlet feet, no hair. His face was sort of fish belly white.
Well, that's Jack Benny.
Who's Jack Benny?
The most notorious toupee thief in California. Benny's been toplifting for years.
Gee.
You'll have to recover that toupee.
But how, Mr. Morrow?
That is your problem, Miss Livingston. You're fired.
Fired?
Don't darken the May Company's doors until you get Benny to pay for that toupee.
And that is why Mary Livingston is with Jack Benny today. She is still trying to collect for that toupee Benny filched from the May Company 10 years ago. In 1935, an apple-cheeked youngster applied for a singing job on the then-flourishing Jell-O program. We find him in the agent's office finishing his audition.
Oh, I'm a puller, oh, I'm a puller. How I love to hear you say, I love you.
His song, his lovely song ended. The boy spoke.
Well, Mr. Lyons, do you like my voice?
That's okay. That's okay, kid. What's your name?
Kenny Baker.
Kenny Baker.
Do I get the job with Mr. Benny?
First, let me ask you a couple of questions. Can you shine shoes?
Sure, why?
Can you do laundry?
Yes, but...
How are you on mowing lawns?
What am I auditioning for, Mr. Lyons? A singer's job or a handyman's?
Both, son. Mr. Benny figures you'll only be singing one day. The rest of the week, you'll be doing odd jobs around for Mr. Benny.
Well, that's all right, I guess.
Oh, fine. And by the way, when you bait Mr. Benny's mousetraps at night, be sure and leave a big hunk of cheese in a bedroom trap. Sometimes Mr. Benny wakes up in the night and likes a little snack.
Yes, sir. When do I start to work, Mr. Lyons?
Just a minute, kid. There's one more thing.
Oh, I can cook, sir.
No, it ain't that. We ain't discussed your salary.
What salary?
Your money.
What's money?
You're just the boy for Mr. Benny, son. You're hired.
And so this innocent lad who didn't know what money was joined the Benny Menage. On Sunday nights he sang, and during the other 6 days he toiled about the Benny household. 2 years later, Kenny Baker won a Screeno game at a theater in Glendale, California. They gave him a handful of green stuff, which he later learned was money. The following day, Kenny said to Mr. Benny's agent,
I know what it is, Mr. Lyons.
You know what is, Kenny?
I know what money is.
I knew this day would come, Baker. You're fired!
And so Kenny Baker, freed from bondage, rose to fame and fortune. Mr. Benny replaced him with another bumpkin named Dennis Day, who still works for Mr. Benny and who, to this day, is being paid off in Wilkie buttons. Talented folks whose stories you have just heard are responsible for Jack Benny's success in radio today. But what about Mr. Benny's movie career? For you discriminating moviegoers, you entertainment lovers who never wait for the companion feature at the double feature theaters, we bring you a few histrionic highlights picked at random from Mr. Benny's epic productions. 6 years ago, Mr. Benny startled Hollywood when he starred in The Man Without. His big scene in The Man Without was...
There's somebody at the door, Butch. Butch, there's somebody at the door.
Don't open it.
The man knocking at that door, who never got into the picture, was Jack Benny. The following season, our favorite touched a new high in dramatic delineation when he starred in the Western feature, Hop Along, Benny Hops Along. The scene that started the audience huzzahing was...
Sheriff! Sheriff, there's a runaway horse coming down the trail. Jeepers, Sheriff. The saddle was empty.
I wonder who was formerly a-settin' in that saddle.
The man who was formerly a-settin' in that saddle was Jack Benny. And finally, Mr. Benny's most brilliant characterization in the celluloid epic, that muck-and-fuss woman, the scene that got an encore and had to be repeated 3 times in rapid succession in the picture was...
Basil, this thing we've done, it's murder.
No matter, Lady Muckenfoss. We are alone. No one will ever know.
The telephone, Basil. The telephone is ringing, Basil.
Don't answer that phone.
The party whose call was never answered, whose voice was never heard in the picture, that muck and fuss woman, was Jack Benny. There were other cinema triumphs. You may recall the petrified forest in which Mr. Benny appeared as the petrified sap. You may remember Mr. Benny's Technicolor appearance in Yellow Jack. You may remember...
Oh, just a minute, Mr. Allen.
Quiet, please. I have to finish this sketch.
What sketch? You are giving Jack Benny the works.
Mr. Goodman is right. I thought this hour was going to be a tribute.
All hail
now,
to
Portland,
Jack Benny.
Now, Portland, for just a minute, all of you. Now, you think I have been ignoring our idol on purpose. You don't understand. I have been saving Mr. Benny's mellow golden voice for the big climax.
Oh.
Also, oh.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we present the crescendo of this dragged-out tribute. You will hear the golden voice of our hero himself in his greatest comedy scene of all time. On the Jell-O program of March 3rd, 1939, Rochester said,
Mr. Benny, when are you trading in your Maxwell?
At this point, sly Mr. Benny convulsed the nation when he replied...
Attention! We interrupt the Fred Allen program to bring you a special news bulletin. Langlefroth, New Mexico. Tonight at 9 o'clock, 23 crowneys were seen giddling on the Biddlesea near Fiddlegard. Nobody was settled out, but 14 sippadoos are rumored to be bossing all. For further bibble job, see your local doppelgang. We return you now to the Fred Allen program.
Yes, folks, that was positively Jack Benny's greatest comedy high spot of all time. And now, as we conclude our tribute to this grand old man of radio, on this, his 10th anniversary, let us bow in reverence
to... Oh, hail to Jack
Benny!
Again
with the hail. Well, all right, Portland, I give up. Go ahead.
Oh, hail to Jack Benny! Long may he reign...
Music, maestro.
King of comedians!
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight. Thanks to Waukegan for lending us Spidey Talcott and to the Campbell Soup Company for its kindness in letting Amos and Andy drop in tonight. Next week, we'll have Mr. Crosley, the man who originated the radio survey. Tune in and hear how the popularity of your favorite radio show is determined. This is Fred Allen saying goodnight for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast and inviting you to drive in at any time. Remember, you're welcome.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show. This is his fourth anniversary episode, and for the fourth anniversary, he's going to have some folks back from... previous years of the Jack Benny Show. We'll get a chance to spend some time with Don Bester, who was his band leader in the previously on the show, who of course was replaced with Johnny Green, who's now the band leader this year of the Jack Benny Show, who will be replaced next year with Phil Harris, and Phil will stick around for quite a while. We also get to have the tenor that was on before Dennis Day and before Kenny Baker, which is Frank Parker, who will be on the show as well. So it'll be a fun little episode featuring all those folks, and it's always neat to celebrate the anniversaries. I think this week, if I remember right, we're having the 10th anniversary of the Jack Benny Show, too, which is kind of strange, because I don't know how you have a 4th anniversary and a 10th anniversary when the shows are run or 5 years apart. So I think the 10th anniversary, they celebrate it the wrong year or something. So I don't know how that all works.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Johnny Green and his orchestra. The orchestra opens the program with At the Codfish Ball from the picture Captain January. Today we are happy to celebrate the fourth anniversary of Jack Benny on the air. It's a great occasion, folks.
So here's to Jack Benny, here's to Jell-O, and here's the merry month of May, the bright, colorful days that bring us the first hint of summer. But you needn't wait for summer to enjoy the lively goodness of its most popular fruits and berries. You can anticipate that pleasure right now with Jell-O. For Jell-O brings you the ripe fruit taste of cherries, raspberries, and strawberries all year round. Jell-O, and only Jell-O, knows the secret of capturing that extra rich fruit flavor. It tastes just as fine whether you make it yourself or get it at a restaurant. Tomorrow marks the beginning of the National Restaurant Week, so sometime this week, when you're out at a restaurant, why not order an appetizing dish of Jell-O? Only always remember to ask for Jell-O by name, either at your grocer's or in a restaurant. Always insist on genuine Jell-O. Tonight marks Jack Benny's fourth anniversary on the air. Radio marches back. 1932.
Hello, National Broadcasting Company. This is the President of Canada Dry. Who's going to be the master of ceremonies on my program?
Jack Benny.
What, that punk?
1933.
Hello, NBC. This is the President of the Chevrolet Company calling. Who'll be the comedian on our program?
Jack Benny.
What, that punk?
1934.
Hello, NBC. This is Mr. O'Neill of the General Tire Company. Who's going to be the funny man on my program?
Jack Benny.
What? That punk?
Radio marches on. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Jell-O brings you that punk, Jack Benny.
Well, Jell-O again. This is Punk Benny. I mean, Jack Benny talking. Gosh, I'm so excited. This is my fourth year on the air. Isn't that a wonderful record, Don? 4 years.
Oh, I don't know, Jack. Amos and Andy have been on the air 6 years.
Well, that's only 3 years apiece. I'm talking about a single performer, you know.
Well, how about Rudy Valley? He's been singing for 7 years.
I know, Don, but how long can his nose hold out? Anyway, I don't want to brag or sound egotistical, but I think that... Thanks. From Louisville. Says, wish I could be with you on your fourth anniversary. I ran my darndest, but couldn't make it. Signed, Brevity. Now, wasn't that nice, Don? But you know what kills me? Everybody has congratulated me on my anniversary except the members of my program. Isn't that awful? See, you think I was some...
Punk?
Yes. No. But they do owe me that courtesy.
Here comes Mary. She'll remember.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello. Gosh, Jack, isn't it warm for May the 3rd?
It sure is. Ah, May the 3rd. Mary, remember May the 3rd, 1932? Exactly the goal.
Not that day.
You see, Don?
Say, Jack, can I go out for a minute? I want to send a telegram of congratulations.
To who, Mary?
My cousin. She's getting married tomorrow.
Oh.
I'll be right back.
Well, I guess you're right, Jack.
Oh, you can't blame her. She's got so much on her mind. Poor kid, you know.
Hello, Jack. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks, Johnny. Thanks.
I just heard you pick the winner in the derby.
Oh. Well, thanks, anyway.
You're welcome. See you later.
Okay. You see, Don, even Johnny forgot, you know?
Well, Jack, you know, he's got so much on his mind.
Oh, sure, his music and everything.
So you have the winner in the Derby, eh?
Yep.
Well, that's fine, Jack. You know, I hate to bring this up on your anniversary, but if you remember, I had half of your horse.
I know, Don, but my half came in first. let's see, what did I win? I have $2 to show. Of course, I'll have to give the jockey something.
Oh, hello, Jack. Congratulations on your anniversary.
Well, Kenny, thanks. Yeah, I'm glad you remembered it.
Nothing on his mind.
Say, how did you happen to remember my anniversary, Kenny?
Gee, it's in all the papers. Yeah. Here's something I clipped out of the New York Times.
Well, yeah, what does it say?
It says, for the fourth consecutive year, the Senate Finance Committee took up the administration budget proposals.
Hmm. Well.
They spelled your name wrong, Jack.
See what it is, Mary. I bet it's an interview or something, yeah?
Say, Jack, there's a pair of spats outside wants to see you.
A pair of spats. Is there a man inside?
Yes.
Don Bester. Come on in, Don. Look who's here, fellas. Good old Don. Well, gee whiz.
Jack, I just thought I'd drop up and offer my congratulations.
Well, this is some surprise. Mary, here's Don.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Don. I guess you received Jack's wire all right.
Hey, Don, you're looking like $1 million. Gee, you're one of the few who remembered me. I'll never forget you.
You did last Christmas.
Well, that wasn't my fault. Hey, why didn't you hang up your stocking when you went to bed?
What, take off my spat?
Same old Bester. Gee, it's good to see you again.
Say, Don, how are the wife and kitties?
Kitties? How many kitties do you think I have?
I don't know. I thought you were keeping score.
Mary, Don has only one child, and it looks just like him.
What's the difference as long as they keep him in the house?
Fine. Get started. Say, Don, you remember Wilson.
Oh, sure. Hiya, Don.
Hello, Don.
How do you feel, Don?
Fine, Don.
Well, that's Don. And this is Kenny Baker.
Hello.
Well, glad to meet you.
And this is Johnny Green, our orchestra leader.
How do you do, Mr. Green?
Very well, thank you, Mr. Becker.
Old friends, huh?
You've got a great orchestra, Mr. Green. What size baton do you use while conducting?
Well, I formerly used a 7-inch baton, but now I get much better results with a 9-inch one. Hmm.
I use a 15-inch stick myself.
Oh, why?
It's easier to hit the musicians.
Mary.
Mr. Bester, we're just about to start our next number. Would you care to assist me in directing the boys?
Well, I'd love to.
Very well, then. Play, Don.
Play, John.
Remember, no fencing. Music played by Johnny Green and Don Bester. And it sounded great, too. Didn't it, fellas?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I got to pay you two boys a compliment. Oh, really, you both have swell orchestras. I don't know, your music is so soothing and restful. It never gets in your hair.
Your what?
Hair. What's on your head?
My nose. I had my face lifted.
Frank Parker, for heaven's sake.
Jack?
Well, Frank, is it really you?
Yes, Jack. Happy as a lark and ready to give you the bird.
Gee, that's nice of you, but you didn't have to come all the way over here, Frank. Gee, you could just as well have sent me a telegram.
Oh, I wouldn't know what to say.
Oh, Frank, stop.
No, that's not enough.
Good old Frank, you haven't changed a bit, huh?
You know, you look the same, Jack, although you've got fat.
Oh, where?
Between the ears.
Oh, Mary, here's Frank. You remember Frank, huh?
Hello, Frank.
Hello, Mary. Gee, I missed you.
And I missed you too, Frank.
Then what are we waiting for?
Hey, Frank, wait a minute. That kiss is a little too long there. You should have made it longer for the gag. Start it again.
Oh, go on, Jack. I only kissed her like a father.
Yeah, father time.
Say, Jack, didn't Bester come up here, too?
Sure, there he is.
Hiya, Don.
Hello, Frankie. You got a wire, too, huh?
Yes, it's a leg.
Same old Jack.
Say, Frank, listen, how did you know this was my anniversary? Huh?
Why, it's in all the papers, Jack. Here, I cut out a clipping.
Yeah, what does it say?
It says, for the fourth consecutive time, Lefty Grove pitched an airtight game for the Red Sox, winning 6-0.
Oh, boy, in the sports column, too, huh? Gee, that's something, huh?
Hello, Frank, old boy. How are you?
Hi there, Wilson. What do you say?
I say that Jell-O is the largest-selling gelatin dessert in the world, and every day millions of people eat it.
Well, I wouldn't have believed it.
Say, Frank, you know Johnny Green, huh?
Oh, sure. Hello, Johnny.
Hello there, Frank.
You know, Jack, we went to Harvard together.
But I got in.
Well, if you're going to give him all the laughs, all right.
Oh, Frank, listen, I want you to meet Kenny Baker from California here.
Hello, Kenny. I'm very glad to know you.
Gee, it's a thrill.
And now that we're all here, and acquainted, we are going on with our feature attraction. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to offer an original drama of the backwoods entitled The Code of the Hill. This will go on immediately after the next number, which will be sung by Kenny Baker. Hey, Frank, Don.
Yeah?
Stick around. You know you're going to play in this, too. Sing, Kenny.
We were there together. There's no bridal suite, one room bright and neat, complete for us to share together. Looking through the window, you can see a distant steeple. Not a sign of people who want people. When the steeple bell says good night, sleep well, we'll thank the small hotel together. I'd like to get away, dear, somewhere alone with you. It could be all so gay, dear, you need a laugh or two. A certain place I know, love, where funny people can have fun. That's where we two will go, love. Before you can count up one, two, three, four. Looking through the window, you can see a distant steeple. Not a sign of people. Who wants people? When the steeple bell says good night, sleep well, we'll thank a small hotel.
By Kenny Baker. Now for our play, The Code of the Hills, which we will present in two acts. The locale is the bluegrass country, 200 miles south of Louisville, which is 5 hours by train, 2 hours by plane, and 20 minutes by bold venture. Take it, Wilson.
The action takes place in the homes of the Jake Bennies and the Bester Parkers, who live within shooting distance of each other. And the feud is on. Curtain, music, John.
Put that gun away, Jake. Supper's awaiting.
Be right there, Sarah.
A shooting and a killing. A shooting and a killing. When is it going to stop?
We ain't going to quit till those best of Parkers are wiped out. By gum and by jello. Ain't no room in these hills for both of us.
You said it, Pappy.
Get away from that door, Ken.
Say, Paul, what have you uns got again the Bester Parkers?
That's just it. I never did get the Bester Parkers. Remember when he uns and we uns was working on the same programming?
Yes, uns.
Well, one night I asked him how many hairs on a monkey's face, and he said the next time you shave, count them. He knew I couldn't count. Well, I ain't a tearing for that kind of city talk, and I ain't never forgetting.
Reckon he ain't neither. But the Bennies and the Bester Parkers have been a-stopping for 200 yards.
Yes, Sarah. 200 yards of a-fighting and a-scratching and a-killing each other.
Looks like it's leading up to a feud.
Wouldn't be surprised. Hey, Ken, barricade that double door.
Oh, Pappy.
Son.
They got me, Pappy. They got me.
What was that, Paul?
Sarah, they uns got our boy, Ken. Got him right through the door.
I didn't know he was a-wearing them.
Oh, I'm a-going, Pappy. I'm a-getting weaker and weaker. Goodbye, Pappy. Goodbye, Ma.
Goodbye.
Poor Ken. He has such a nice tenor voice.
Yeah. You reckon I ought to take him out and bury him?
Better have your supper first. It's a-getting cold.
So is Ken. Chuck, I'm so hungry right now, I could eat a horse.
Well, that's what we got.
Silly of soul, eh?
Oh, I'm a-going, Pappy. Still a-going.
Take your time, son.
I'm a-dying, Paul. Chuck, and I wanted to be president.
Now, don't worry, boy. You can be vice president.
What do you mean?
You're a-darned.
Well, Don, I reckon we ain't got them Bennies scared now. Looks like they're afraid of us.
Say, Frank, what have we ain't got against them Bennies?
Nothing. We just naturally hate people in these hills for no reason at all. It's just a wreck.
Well, I'm willing to stick to you, Frank, but I ain't got no hankering for that kind of fighting.
You ain't?
No, I just wear fat.
No, I just want it fat.
I just want it fat. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, I guess
fine, get star.
Well, Don, I guess that's one for the Bennies. Getting cold feet, huh? Say, how did we make out today, Don?
We got 3 Bennies and a skunk.
Oh, 4 Bennies, huh?
Good thing I didn't hear that.
Look, Frank, there's Jake standing by the window. Why don't you let him have it?
Shucks, can't waste a whole bullet on one Benny. I'm a-waiting until someone gets behind him. Oh, there's Sarah now.
Land sake. There goes that jug of corn liquor.
That's a-going too far. There ain't nothing sacred.
Howdy, Uncle Jake.
Hello there, John.
Where have you been? You shouldn't be a-walking around with your left arm shot up like that.
I've been a-seeking some cord for to tie it up with. It keeps a-falling off.
No, John, I don't like the way that arm of yours keeps a-dropping off. It might be ailing. What's that you got under your other arm?
My right leg.
Oh.
Well, put it in the umbrella stand and come to dinner.
Be right there, Aunt Sarah.
Oh, gone it. I wish those Parkers would hold off till we get through eating. Where's our daughter, Mariah?
She went down to the village to buy a toothbrush. Got her hardest set on it.
Toothbrush? What's that?
Oh, one of them things you rub on your teeth. They were using them in the city.
A toothbrush. Bog gum, what'll they be thinking up next? Here comes Mariah now.
my eye on a star in the sky. Shooting high. Hello, Pappy. Hello, Ma.
We ain't been a-worrying about you, gal. You shouldn't be out of doors the weather like this.
That's all right, Pappy. Who's that on the floor?
That's your brother, Ken. He was a-standing by the door, and they uns up and killed him. Killed him dead. Your poor brother.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Don't take it so hard, Mariah. I know you loved him.
Yeah. What do we got for supper, Ma? Nothing fancy, just a horse. I hope I don't get the leg again. Say, Pappy.
Yeah?
As I was coming up the hill, one of them best of Parker stopped me.
He did?
Yeah, said he just heard about your 4th anniversary.
What else did he say, gal?
Said he was surprised you lasted that long.
Give me my rifle, I'll show him. There they are now, sitting on the porch.
Oh, Pappy, be careful. They're meaner than skunks.
And trickier. Take that, you ornery polecat.
Watch out, Uncle Jake.
They missed me.
That's all right. They got Kenny again.
And they got me, Pappy. They've got me.
I told you we should have buried him. Well, I'll make Zayn pay for this, or my name ain't Jake.
This shot gets you. Your name was Jake. Take that.
Missed me again.
Oh, yeah? Where's your ear?
Doggone it, and I wanted to hear Phil Baker. Hand me that other gun. Come on, John, let him have it.
Okay, Jake.
Guess they uns are getting tired, Sarah. They stopped the shooting.
Who is that, Pop?
Just an echo.
Well, the echo got Johnny.
Hey, Don.
Yeah?
How's our ammunition holding out?
Getting pretty low.
I reckon I'll have to borrow some.
Then maybe they uns are willing to stop this feud.
Not Jake Penny. He's the feudinest man in these hills.
I wonder what makes him so feudy.
Well, I don't know.
Ooh, they got me, Frank.
Too bad. See you later, Don.
Look, Mariah. Look, I hit Bester. Got him right in the foot.
You hit the sack. Da-da-dee-da-da-dee-da-da.
Who's that?
It's me, a Parker.
Parker?
Yeah, and I'd like to borrow some ammunition. I'll gladly pay you back Tuesday.
Sure, but just to keep this feud going, how many bullets you uns need?
How many left in your family?
3, but you better take an extra one. I'm expecting company. Here you are. When'll I get these bullets back?
2 minutes if my aim is good. Well, thanks, Jake.
So long.
So long. I'll be a-shooting you.
Get him, Paul, before he runs back to the house.
Yahoo! I hit him in the suspenders. That'll slow him down. Come in.
Hello, Frozen. You'll pardon my protrusion. But as a federal agent, doggone it, I came here from Washington, N.B.
Washington, N.B.?
Yeah, near Baltimore.
Well, you one's a federal man, eh?
Yeah, boy. And as a working for the government...
Aren't we all?
Quiet, darling. What are you ones be a-wanting around here, stranger?
Well, I came here to select a place for a new government project.
Is that so?
So enough. We're aiming to build up your canal 28 and a half miles long.
28 and a half mile canal, eh? Are you going to have locks on it?
What do we need with locks? Who's going to steal it?
I reckon you have come to the right place, Ronjo. The grass around here is so dry the cows give powdered milk.
That's your house, Lawson. But listen to my proposition, please. I'll give you for your property a test amount of $1.50 net.
That dough is a heap of money.
Hold out for an extra quarter, Pa. Gas is running low.
You once heard what she said, Stronger.
Ah, she's a sizzler. Well, I'll make a $2 bill. Sign here.
Sarah, potch me the pen and potch me the ink.
Here, potch.
Where do I scratch?
Right here, but don't make a blot.
Not much. Ooh, Mariah, pick up that pen.
Never mind, Pa. I'll get you another one.
I want that one. My hand's on it. Well, there you are.
No, thank you.
Where's the money?
Right outside my car.
Oh, along with it, Mariah. And be careful.
All right, Kathy. Come along, Mr.
Hezekiah Flepperman. With a benzo on my knee. Oh, come on, Hunterbunt.
Well, Sarah, we're rich now. Hot digging.
Yes, Pa, and we can move away from these things.
No, we can't, Sarah. Not till the feud is over.
Feud? That's all I ever hear, and I'm getting sick of it.
What, Sarah?
Feud only plow the field. Feud only tend the crops, Pa. Wouldn't be no feud.
And speaking of feud, you will find that Jell-O is the most delicious feud in the world. And it has that you actually fresh flavor. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and
lime.
Thank you, Parker. Thank you, Bester.
You're welcome, Jack.
Well, that's that. Why's Mariah in that federal, man?
Jimmy the Crackers, you still got plenty of hot bullets here.
No, we ends are used to it.
Hey, Spencer, you know I like that daughter of yours? She's some snappy denzel.
Well, you ones like my daughter, eh?
Yeah, for her, I feel like a coyote. In fact, I asked her to marry me.
Can't say that I'm surprised. Mariah, what have you uns got to say about this?
Well, I'll tell you, my friend. We've been talking there for a long time, and it's got to be played out.
Stand by now for grand good news.
Everybody, my sight.
Jell-O is introducing a new product to metropolitan New York and New England. Jell-O Ice Cream Mix, a modern, quick, easy way of making the very best ice cream you've ever tasted. Jell-O Ice Cream Mix comes in five luscious flavors, vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, tutti frutti, and orange pineapple. The three fruit flavors are real, cut-up fruits in their own sweetened juices. The vanilla and chocolate syrups are deliciously mellow. Each flavor freezes smoothly, flawlessly, in the trays of your automatic refrigerator. Just open a can of Jell-O Ice Cream Mix. Add some milk, some whipped cream, stir only once during the freezing, and you'll have six generous portions of rich, creamy ice cream, smooth and full-flavored, absolute luxury ice cream. See your grocer tomorrow and get some Jell-O Ice Cream Mix. If he hasn't put it in stock yet, be sure he orders it for you. Never accept any substitute for Jell-O Ice Cream Mix, because nothing else will give you the same fine results. Remember the name, Jell-O Ice Cream Mix.
Thanks, Frank, for coming up here tonight. It was darn sweet of you. And you too, Don.
That's all right, Jack. I'm glad I came.
And I enjoyed it, too.
I hope to see you soon again.
23 to do.
Who wrote that?
I did.
Good night, folks.
J-E-L-L-O.
Our music included Love and Bloom from She Loves Me Not, and There's a Small Hotel from On Your Toes. This is the National Broadcasting Company.